Today's class was a really beautiful purport to Srila Prabhupada's writing. I'm going to read it as I'm sitting here back in the house in New Brajadam. It was raining all night, lightning and thunder and wind, and by Mangalartik the rain had stopped, but it's clouded up again, and it's sort of drizzling, dropping. The grass is all wet. In fact, as I was walking over, I saw this little bird, and I was watching him, and it seemed that he was just drinking the water drops off the grass. I thought at first maybe he was just picking bugs, but it didn't look like that. It looked like he was hopping from one blade of grass to the other and drinking the water. Well, he wasn't exactly a chataka, but he wasn't drinking it off the ground. He was just drinking it off the blades of grass, unlike the cat I saw yesterday on my walk, who was drinking from a puddle of muddy water near the Goshala. Anyway, here's that purport. It was to this verse. This is from the Punksavana ritualistic ceremony. And the prayer to the Lord is, O my Lord, because you are endowed with causeless mercy, all opulences, all prowess, and all glory, strength, and transcendental qualities, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everyone. And it's a short, but really personal and beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes, in this verse, the words Tatosi Bhagavan Prabhu mean, therefore you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all six opulences in full, and moreover, he is extremely kind to his devotee. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless wants all living entities to surrender unto him so that they may engage in his service. Thus, he becomes satisfied. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased when his devotee offers him patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water in devotion. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food, as if he were very hungry. Sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and his garden are now very old and that he cannot enjoy them very nicely. Thus he requests the devotee to repair them. Sometimes he is buried in the earth, and as if unable to come out, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. Even though the Supreme Personality of God is endowed with all possessions and is self-sufficient, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for some particular work. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 11:33, where the Lord tells Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhagasavya Sachin, O Arjuna, merely be an instrument in the fight. Lord Krishna had the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra, but nonetheless, he induced his devotee Arjuna to fight and become the cause of victory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite competent enough to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still he depended upon his devotee to do this work. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of the Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that he depends on his devotees. This is called his causeless mercy. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the Master and the servant. Beautiful. Really beautiful. And of course, a person with such realization that Srila Prabhupada is talking about is Srila Prabhupada. No one else other than he. Of course, there are others. But certainly Srila Prabhupada is fully realized in terms of this relationship of master and servant, and particularly how, although Krishna is fully competent to spread Krishna consciousness around the world, he empowers his devotee. In this way, his devotee becomes all famous. It gives his devotee an opportunity to render service because that service is the symptom of love for Krishna. We must do something. We must do something in order to show our love. When you love somebody, you don't talk about it. You prove it. You prove it by some service, by some specific activity. And just as over the period of this festival that we had, once again, devotees were so appreciative and enjoying the atmosphere of New Brajadam, which is an atmosphere that's made of service. Devotees are engaged in such selfless service to Radhishyam and to the project in agriculture, cow protection, deity worship, Gurukula, so many other wonderful ways. And by that service, by that activity, Jomi Bhaktya Priyachati, the mood of bhakti, the underlying element of which is love, is pervasive, and that touches devotees. Devotees feel that when they come. Sometimes, and increasingly so, I get some devotees who want to come and live in New Brajadam. I'm talking about devotees from outside Hungary, or even in Hungary, or just move around New Brajadam. And there are two categories of devotees: some who really pick up on this mood, that actually what makes this place is not because it's just some kind of showpiece, or because there's a nice temple and nice paintings and so on, but the devotion and the hard work, and they want to buy into that service, because they know that that's where the Krishna conscious future may lie. And then there's the other class of devotees who very much appreciate that atmosphere, but somehow or another didn't quite pick up on the fact that being in New Brajadam or near or connected to means being involved in that atmosphere, and they want to live nearby and do something, whether it be some agriculture or just being self-sufficient or chanting Hare Krishna, and want to be able to come to the temple and take darshan and go to morning program and so on, but they don't quite realize that that will not necessarily purchase them the atmosphere and the mood of devotion that not only here in New Brajadam, but it's in every temple, everywhere in ISKCON, anywhere where there's Krishna consciousness, is that Srila Prabhupada makes this point: in active devotion, Krishna consciousness means some activity. We have to actively reciprocate and show our love and devotion for Krishna. And when we do that, then we really enter into the dham. When we want to become observers, that is like the Shanta Bhaktas. There are devotees with pure devotion and who are liberated from material energy, who are in the neutral stage of devotional service. They, from a distance, appreciate Krishna. They exhibit certain symptoms of ecstasy. They have a certain type of prema, but and they're one of the five relationships: Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Maturya. So they're Santa Bhaktas. But they don't particularly do anything. Great sages who are residing in the Himalayas, these are examples of Santa Bhaktas. They don't render any active service. And although technically speaking, Rupa Goswami categorized them as one of the five different rasas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more specifically gave emphasis to the other four, because they're all rendering some service. Those in the mood of servitude are rendering some type of specific service. Cowherd boys are exchanging very intimately with Krishna on an equal level. Parents are giving protection, palyam, and in the conjugal mood, then there is a very intimate exchange of offering oneself fully to Krishna. But there's no such thing in dasya. So even though it may be categorized as devotional service, still it becomes really recognized and appreciated when that devotional service manifests in terms of some real activity. Krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. So we should always keep that in mind, that our years spent in chanting Hare Krishna is not just something that we should refer to when we talk about I've been a devotee for so many years, but rather what's the active evidence of our being devotee by dint of the service that we've rendered. And when we have the opportunity to render service, when we have some particular service, whatever that may be, however menial it may be, we may consider that this is our means of loving exchange with Krishna, and Krishna is giving us this service to see how we actually reciprocate with him, how we serve him, because as Srila Prabhupada points out, not only he's the master, but he becomes a dependent master. He allows us to become dependent upon his service. And that becomes a very wonderful thing, because by that dependency, gradually we get to purchase Krishna by showing how reliable servants we are in devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada says one comes to the realized stage where one really understands the relationship of master and servant, which in a mature condition becomes that of servant and master. In other words, the master becomes the servant and the servant becomes the master. Although Krishna is the master, Mother Yashoda becomes his master by being his mother. And that is very, very wonderful exchange, but it isn't an exchange that takes place with the eternally liberated, but through the media of the Lord's deity worship, we're able to actually render service and have that type of confidential relationship where Krishna is also dependent upon us. But we always have to remember that Krishna remains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Jume Bhakti Apriyachati, he understands the quality of the devotion that we're rendering. Hare Krishna.